Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, John, you ready?
Yes, sir.
People can send these in, DearJohnJansen@gmail.com. The first one, hunting debate. John, me and some of my friends got into an annual debate that always seems to come up this time of year. Bow hunting versus rifle hunting. I prefer bow hunting. It's pure, bigger challenge. The rifle hunting feels like easy mode by comparison. Some in our group will say, man invented guns because they're better than bows. And this time of year is their favorite. Where do you stand?
I like both. To be honest with you, I like to be able to reach out and touch them as far away as possible. I also like the close encounter of bow hunting. It really comes down to availability. We had the one caller, Western Wayne County. You're not allowed to use a rifle. So if you don't want a shotgun, in some places you're not even allowed to do that, then bow hunting is your only option. If I had to pick between the two, I would pick bow hunting just because I enjoy it more. I don't think it's better or worse than gun hunting. I love shooting guns, and I love hunting with guns. So for me, it's just a matter of availability. And Jack likes to shoot a bow.
Is bow hunting more difficult? I mean, I know nothing about it, but I feel like I would need like more training to shoot a bow accurately than I would need training to shoot a gun accurately. But maybe I haven't done either.
Maybe there's a little bit more practice involved. So you obviously have to practice with your rifle. You have to sight it in. You have to do the same thing with a bow. You probably have to account for more variables like wind. It's going to affect an arrow or a bolt coming out of a crossbow more than it will a bullet. But if you're shooting, 300 yards, you have to account for it as well.
I would have trouble even like getting the bow. Like, I feel like you need a lot of strength for that.
So there's different draw weights and the let off on the compound bow. So the technology has made it so much easier. So yes, I believe you could bow hunt as well.
If I got the right bow.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. This is another one about hunting. Dear John, my 16-year-old son was invited on a hunting trip, and I let him go and gave him money to reimburse the other parents for food and ammunition. He said he had a great time with his friend. His mom, my ex, is now very angry that I didn't consult her before allowing this to happen. She said she doesn't want him to go hunting again. I told her she has no say over what happens when our son is at my house. We got into a big fight over it. She has, let's see. She said, as long as he's under 18, we have to co-parent and make decisions together. The thing is, since he turned 16 and can go back and forth between homes on his own, there's absolutely no need for us to interact with each other anymore. And I told her so much. She said I need to respect her as the mother of my child and make decisions with her. I said, no, our relationship is over. Well, my girlfriend said I need to make nice with my ex because it will be better in the long run, which is making me wonder if I was unreasonable.
So your words were not the royal words. When at my house, my rules, you have no say, that's not going to go over well, no matter if you're talking about what you're feeding them for lunch or letting them go hunting. Now, there's so many different things that are going on here. Obviously, your relationship was over a long time ago. You do need to have a discussion. And having been a part of these discussions, they're not always going to be easy, but they have to be had, and you have to be able to use better language. He can ultimately let him go hunting. The question I would have in terms of that topic is, what type of experience has the child been in? I'm not going to send him off with somebody if he's never fired a weapon before. That's unreasonable. Like, you have to go through hunter safety. I would assume that he has, because you have to have it as a youngster to even get your license. So, but there's a lot going on there.
There's a lot going on. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're being unreasonable. I didn't know all about the, you have to go through training. Like, I'm thinking this guy just sent off his son to go hunting.
Both need to be a little bit more reasonable. she needs to be a little bit more reasonable as well. If that is something that he has done, and especially something that he did while they were married, she knows that it's a part of his life, and he wants to share that with his son. Now, the issue may have been for her sending him with someone else versus going with her ex-husband.
There's a lot of backstory we need, because when you say it like that, if the dad was a hunter and the son's been hunting before, it's in his wheelhouse. To me, I took it as not this. He's just going with a buddy, going out to hunt, never done this before, didn't consult with me. It is their son, still under 18.
Yeah.
Yes, you have to co-parent still at that point, even if it's tough, even if you don't want to, you still have to.
What the son wants matters. If the son wants to go hunting,
it does matter, but it doesn't mean he has to get what he wants. Yeah.
Right. But if one parent will okay it and the son wants to hunt, the other parent might have to just suck it up, right? What?
Yes. It's, but
if
there
my daughter
are...
wants candy and I say no, she goes to daddy. Daddy looks at me and I said, I already said no. And he says, she already said, like, kids do that. They play off each parent and which one's going
to
say yes.
But if he wants to explore a hobby and dad supports it, mom gets to say, like, swap hunting with wants to be on the baseball team. Mom can just veto it.
So this conversation comes up in terms of football. Like, dad wants him to play football, mom doesn't, and now there's an issue. Like, okay, it's very different topics, but this is something that you need to communicate and work through.
Yes.
This next one is titled Family Recipe. John, I have this old family recipe for a pasta sauce. It's been passed down for generations. My mom taught it to me when I was a kid.
And Bolognese?
Does not say. Says it became my thing. Make it for all sorts of occasions, birthdays, family gatherings, nights in with friends. Everyone raves about it. I take pride in it, and I keep it close to the original. One of my close friends, Emily, asked me for the recipe. She's been experimenting in the kitchen lately and thought it would be fun to try herself. At first, I laughed it off, but she kept pressing. Emily isn't Italian and doesn't have a lot of experience cooking from scratch, so I was a little hesitant. It felt weird giving away something that feels tied to my family, especially since my mom passed away and treated it as a family-only thing. I told her I didn't feel comfortable. She got annoyed, saying it's just sauce, not some huge family heirloom. Now things are awkward between us. She's been short with me ever since and made snarky comments about a dinner party of how I, quote, gatekeep sauce. Mutual friends have said I should just give in to avoid drama. John, what should I do?
Yeah, first of all, whether she's Italian or not, it doesn't matter. Whether she is a scratch cook or not, doesn't matter. Why wouldn't you want more people to enjoy the recipe that is the legacy of your ancestors? Like, that to me is... Now, if it doesn't turn out, okay, that's always a possibility.
Sure.
But the original always will be, hey, the best is always when they come to my house. But I would love for any of my recipes, I give it to them. Like, why would you want to gatekeep that?
It's a recipe. Yeah. Share it. They're meant to be shared. Yes. Food is meant to be enjoyed by all and shared by all. It's a silly recipe.
It's not a silly recipe. It's a silly discussion about a recipe.
Yes. It's just share it.
Yeah. It comes from this place of insecurity. Like,
food unites.
You're more than the person who makes this sauce. I think it's very insecure that if other people know how to make it, then I won't be valuable in the friend group.
I won't be as special.
Yeah, share it. Food is meant to be shared.
It is. Finally, we have one called Family Heirloom. My family has two heirlooms that we give to a bride and groom when they get married. For the men, it's a set of cufflinks, and for the women, it's a bracelet. This tradition is essentially our family's way of saying we're accepting you into the family. We did this with our oldest two children, and now our youngest son is engaged. When my future daughter-in-law got engaged, I gave her the bracelet and explained it. Family heirloom, expressing how meaningful it would be if she wore it at the wedding. I did say, you know what, if you don't want to wear it during the ceremony, that's fine. But if you could wear it maybe during the reception, that would be awesome, right? It's this white jade bracelet, and I shared the significance with her. Well, now with the wedding only a few months away, there's a problem. My daughter has been getting to know my future daughter-in-law and learned that she thinks the bracelet is ugly and is complaining about it. My future daughter-in-law even learned that she's been saying some hurtful things about me, calling me controlling for giving her the bracelet. Since she clearly doesn't want or respect it, I asked for it back. That's when things got messy. She made a big deal about how I was excluding her from the family by taking it back. Now she's pissed and calling me a jerk. My son also thinks I'm being a jerk for taking it back, even after I showed him what she had said. People are divided over this, saying that by taking it back, it implies I don't see her as family or trust her with the heirloom.
I these are my least favorite topics. So here's what you do. You have a conversation with the future daughter-in-law, because there's a lot more riding on this than just whether she wears it or not. Everything comes and goes in style. And I mean, if she doesn't appreciate the fact that it's a family heirloom, there may be some issues there, but there are always things that you can get over and get around. If she's willing to wear it, what she thinks about it in terms of how it looks on her, if she's at least willing to take some pictures, wear it at the reception for a little bit, then just accept it. I mean, she doesn't have to like it.
The problem with this story, I think, is the actual daughter. You're hanging out with a new future daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law is sharing some gossip with you. Like, I don't really like the bracelet. I think it's ugly. I don't think it goes with my dress.
And then you're going to go report to mommy?
Yeah, that's your problem. Your daughter is the problem. Yeah. She should never have shared that information in the first place.
But again, be open. These are not easy conversations, not comfortable conversations. But have the conversation with your daughter.
Yeah, but you can't take the bracelet back,
you
right?
Can't. No, you can't. But then again, have the conversation with your daughter-in-law and say, okay, I understand that it might not be your style, but what you said was very hurtful to me.
And she probably thought she was venting and speaking freely.
I
didn't
agree.
Know that it was going to be relayed in those harsh terms.
Right. Again, it's comfortable, but it does open up the opportunity where if something in the future happens, now you have that communication that's already been opened up, that daughter and future daughter-in-law can come to you.
Sure.
You can go to them. There needs to be communication.
Well, I agree with that, but I do think she completely messed up by asking for it back, because that daughter-in-law is always going to have that. Like, that's...
Yeah.
There's going to always be that
in the
back.
But then talk to her about it and explain, this is why I asked for it back.
It'd still be there in my mind.
How do you feel about insisting that she wears it?
Yeah, women never forget anything.
The insisting on wearing it, I think, is a little extreme, because I do think women have an idea of what they want their day to look like. And I know it might sound stupid, even as small as a little bracelet, it's still something. If she doesn't think it matches or goes with her dress, I don't think you should insist on her wearing it.
Well,
I think
you can't just put it on for one picture.
No, the picture's fine. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Wear it for a photograph. It'd be really nice to get in a picture.
My mother-in-law, I'm going to put it on.
Yes.
Take the picture, take it off.
And that is Dear John. It's 97.1.
Oh, hey, I do want to let you know what is going on over at First Merchants Bank. I've been talking about that for some time. Hey, when it comes to your finances, you need a bank that gets you, understands you, and is genuinely interested in your success. And that's what I've been sharing with you. It's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you and build a financial plan that fits your situation. And as that plan changes, maybe you're buying a new house, you get a chance to continue to modify that plan. They're there for you every step of the way. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs, because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Some reaction to Dear John. We'll go Lions MVP before the show ends. And if there's time, a little Red Wing Piston head-to-head comparison. Ticket texters with their thoughts on this. The Colonel wouldn't say it's just a recipe.
Okay, yeah. If it's a proprietary blend that you are making money off of, that changes the equation. This is not that.
That family recipe could be worth millions. Ask many fast food and restaurant owners. Don't just share it openly.
Well, then go and sell it and make money off of it. But she's not doing that.
Right. Yes, it's not the difference between Coke and Pepsi.
We are being told we're out of touch. It's a giant Italian thing. Families pass down secret recipes all the time.
Well, you're Italian, is it?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Okay, so you have, okay.
I can speak for all Italian people.
Yes, there you go. Okay. Yes. Would you share your bolognese?
Yeah, I'd share any recipe I have, Italian food or otherwise. Like we talked about, it's meant to be shared. Mm-hmm. If you have something that tastes good that other people like and you can bring that into more people's lives,
right.
Do it. That's what it's there for.
Here's where it would become an issue. If they make it, it's really good.
Better than yours?
Well, I don't care if it's better or not. I mean, they could tweak it. That's
sure,
fine.
That's what it's supposed
to be. But if they say, oh, this is my family recipe, if they try and commandeer it, now you've got an issue.
Yeah, that's right. This one says it's a family recipe. It's a family recipe. Ask that person to make it for you if you want it so bad. No, especially like you said, she's getting into cooking. This person's starting to cook a little more.
I want to make something good.
Yeah, when you have a recipe to follow that you know is going to be good.
Yeah. Oh, I got this one from, Lisa.
You know, the thing with recipes, I understand. Look, if you have a business, you're protecting something, right? Or you're trademarking thing. You're doing whatever to protect that. Other than that, though, I think a travesty in life is that recipes die.
Yeah.
That they, because there used to be a pizza place downriver called Pepinas, and I thought it was the best pizza ever. And then, unfortunately, the place burned down in the early 2000s. And I can't get that pizza anymore. Now, I don't know if the recipe's still out there,
but it's lost.
It's a shame that food is not there for people anymore.
I get it.
We have some Italian on Italian crime on the ticket texter. This one says, I'm 100% Italian. Share the damn recipe. These people are nuts.
Yeah.
On the wedding heirloom topic, if she isn't going to wear it, the mother has every right to ask for a family heirloom back. Maybe she can give it to someone who would want to wear it.
Right. But again, it all starts with the conversation. And if that's the case, I think the conversation should have happened first. And if she says, I'm never going to wear it, she probably would have offered it back without you actually asking for it.
Yeah, I don't think you give it to her and then take it back unless there was that conversation. It's like, hey, I only want to give this to you if you're going to wear it on your wedding. And if you're not going to wear it on your wedding day, I don't like that either. Like
the reason for giving the heirloom, it is to welcome you into the family, and they will be in the family after the wedding, so they should keep the heirloom, even if there's bad blood.
Agreed.
One more ticket text. I think this one is talking about the hunting story. I'm with the dad. The mom can kick rocks.
Yeah.
Phone calls.
Co-parenting doesn't go well when that happens. I know.
You have some experience in the matter.
Yes. It's not an easy situation to deal with, no matter the topic at all. So, but then you throw one on there that can be a hot button, like hunting, and hopefully the communication started long before, and it doesn't sound like it did in this situation.
Yeah, they're fighting an uphill battle there. Paul in Waterford, you're on 97.1.
Well, thanks for taking my call. It's an honor to chat with you three, actually.
Oh, thanks for calling.
My grandmother, who came from the old country and went through Ellis Island, used to make the world's best Swedish meatballs. And what she told me is that when other people asked for the recipe for her Swedish meatballs, she would leave out an essential element, and then that way hers were always better than everybody else's. And then when she passed, I got her recipe books thinking I would make the Swedish meatballs. She kind of kept them all in Swedish and like would cross out the amounts and then write in like a pinch or a dash or something like that. So I could never recreate the actual, Grandma Gru McQuist. Swedish meatballs.
Sounds like this is a topic that you have talked about with family before.
It is. There is some serious irony that you brought it up. I truly say that, John.
Well, thanks for calling in, Paul. Yes. Appreciate you listening.
People do that. Everybody can do it. The recipes are their possession, and until you give them away. But like Tom said, I would hate for, if I have something that the kids love, that one, they wouldn't want to share or couldn't share, or that if something happened to me, that they wouldn't be able to recreate. Being able to recreate it brings back memories of meals that you had with that loved one.
And their legacy carries on as opposed to dying off.
Yeah. And you don't want it to be, damn, grandma, she left out the ingredient.
Shaking your fist. How could she? Let's get to Heather with the news.
So I've got some information. You know, it's the year end, kind of. We're getting there. So you always get like the end of year things. And Michigan's most popular state park or recreation area campground for 2024 has been named. And it was Ludington State Park.
Great, great one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So more than 300 campsites between its three campgrounds. It took the popularity title this year with 45,470 nights camped.
It's packed all the time.
Which is pretty darn cool. They say, you know, next year it won't get that because they're shutting part of the campground down. And that's why it always switches, because sometimes campgrounds don't have all of their sites open. It's not available for everyone to go use. But the other campgrounds with the most nights camped were Holland, South Higgins Lake, Traverse City, and Wilderness Park.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
great
cool.
ones. Yep. Yep.
Travis Kelce doesn't believe James Houston Gatorade excuse. And I don't think anybody does. You know, no. I was thinking about it more, like maybe he doesn't even believe with the laughing, crying cat emoji and the pile of poop. Like I took it as kind of like it was Gatorade. Like maybe he wasn't using it as a real excuse. He was just throwing it out there. But anyway,
just own it.
I agree. Just own it at that point. Kelce says he doesn't believe him because it's actually happened to him before. Ew, exactly. It is gross, but apparently, John, it does happen.
Life in the NFL. Yes, it does.
How common is it?
I wouldn't say it happens every game to someone, but it's frequent that it does happen. Now, the issue with hopping in the shower is, I mean, you probably have your ankles taped. You don't want to get your ankles wet. But it does become a messy situation that you have to deal with one way or another. And if you don't have white pants, sometimes you just let it ride.
But most of it happens because it's an accident. Like it's like
you don't crap your pants on purpose.
No, because he says when you got to pee, you just pee your pants. That's not an accident.
It's very different than crapping your pants.
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to clarify because one is done definitely on purpose.
You try it both ways and let me know if there's a difference.
Well, I can only imagine, but I'm just saying, like, when you have to go to the bathroom, you've said you just would pee.
Yes.
And so, you know, I thought, well, maybe if you had to poop, you'd just, let it go. I don't know. Speaking of Jason Kelce, his new holiday song, Maybe This Is Christmas, is what it's called. It's this duet with Stevie Nicks, has hit the top of the iTunes 100 holiday chart, actually beating out Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. And Mariah Carey's song is like the number one Christmas song. She is known as the Queen of Christmas. At least that's what she calls herself. So at this moment, we have a new king of Christmas for the moment. It is early. However, I have already started listening to Christmas music. So I'm in there. Right. Did you guys hear about... Oh,
we're sorry.
I'll tell you later.
I guess so. All right. Coming up next.
Tomorrow.
Ooh,
what a tease. Coming up next.
Tease of nothing.
Tease
you
of
have
nothing.
No idea.
Stay for a full day and find out. Brian Branch, team MVP, or is it somebody else? And a head-to-head comparison for the Red Wings and the Pistons. It's 97.1. Red Wing rookie gets it done. Wings pick up a win. Piston rookie, yikes, missed a couple free throws at the end of regulation. We'll do a comparison of these two teams. But, John, Lions. Never need to twist your arm to talk about this football team.
No.
There are a bunch of guys who've stepped up lately that have helped this team go on this run. 8-1. I flippantly said Brian Branch is the team MVP in the Thursday touchdown. You didn't fight me on it.
No.
I think you agree with me.
Yeah, with Aiden Hutchinson down, I do agree with you. And I mean, you could always say because the quarterback, and if a team loses a quarterback, who can go on and have the same expectations moving forward? I get that. But the impact that Brian Branch has had in regards to being the team MVP, or the conversation that did start in the touchdown of should he be in consideration for defensive player of the year? His effectiveness on every level of the defense. He could play any position in the secondary and be one of the best in the NFL to do it. He is graded as the best safety in the NFL. This is year two. He's a second round pick. Think about, he's the Amon-Ra St. Brown of defense. I know Amon-Ra was taken in the fourth, but this is the impact that he's having because he can get after the quarterback. He plays the run with ferocity and violence. He could play a linebacker position. He can cover nickel from the nickel position. He can cover slot receivers, cover corners. I mean, he can cover everything.
If you want to blitz more, and that was their first adjustment when Aiden went down, you have to have guys on the back end who can hold up. And I think specifically in the intermediate areas where some of the toughest matchups are in football, tight ends, running backs, some of these slot receivers, some teams will put their best receiver in the slot to create a mismatch, and you can't do that when you have someone like Brian Branch, who's instinctive, who's always where the ball is, and he's creating all kinds of, we use the word havoc, he's making plays. And yeah, I think you could say he's the most valuable player on this team. Now, if you want to say it's the quarterback and it's always the quarterback, then fine. Then there's no point in even having the discussion. We'll just shut it down and we'll move on. But maybe if we leave out the quarterback, John, is there even another, like Penei Sewell maybe? Because this team runs right, and when they're in crunch time, he can make the difference. But I think it's a very short list of guys that are in that Branch tier in terms of importance on this football team.
I mean, it's okay. You could talk about Gibbs's impact.
Sure.
You could talk about Penei Sewell's impact. You could talk about Ali McNeil's impact, especially since he signed the contract. He has taken his play to another level. But I don't know that any of them really reach, because when you're talking about Brian Branch and the safety position, what did I mention? He could play the nickel position. We've seen him line up in the corner position, safety position, either safety. He's literally all over the field. We see him line up at the end of the line of scrimmage. We see him line up, you know, linebacker depth. And again, I don't want to take anything away from any offensive lineman. Frank and his ability to make calls, like he has actually involved in both sides of the line, or both sides of the offensive line. Penei Sewell is limited to one side. And yes, I know that they've used him as a receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They could move him to left tackle.
Don't put limits on him.
But they don't. And so he is lined up 99.9% of the time at the right tackle position. Brian Branch lines up everywhere.
Sewell was beat on the one of the interceptions that Goff threw, and it was startling because he's never beaten. And you really you realize in the moment, oh,
he is human.
But more important, they've played 9 games, and this is the only thing I can think of, the only time that he's really gotten just legitimately beat.
I think he gave up a sack against, was it Tennessee?
But the feet got tangled on that one.
Right, he got tripped.
I'm talking legitimately, he goes into a pass set, the other guy across from him legitimately beats him. I think it's happened one time in hundreds of snaps, thousands of snaps. And then I know in the run game, if you look at the numbers, John, rushing yards to the right side versus rushing yards to the left side, specifically when Decker was out, they said, we're going behind Penei Sewell when we need to have it. I think outside of Goff, who's the quarterback, Branch is the MVP of the offense, and Sewell to me is the MVP of the defense. Sorry, other way around.
That would be amazing.
That'd be incredible.
Wow.
Two-way players.
Yeah.
Branch is the MVP of the defense, Iron Sewell Man of football. The offense.
Yeah. Because when I think about Brian Branch and the fact that they can use him really, and it's just a matter of creativity. And I think, okay, what is the offensive player that gives a defensive coordinator that type of a weapon?
Yeah.
And it's, okay, at times you could say Sewell. Honestly, it's Gibbs. What he does and allows Ben Johnson to do, because they can line him up as a receiver, they can line him up in the backfield, they can throw him the ball, they can run the ball, they can run in a number of different ways, they can put him in motion, handle the ball. Like it's unbelievable what he allows Ben Johnson, and you're only limited by Ben Johnson's creativity. Defensively, you're only limited in how you use Brian Branch by Aaron Glenn's creativity.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say with Gibbs is it's just a way that they use the running backs. They're both part-time players, and it's for their benefit. They stay fresh. You get the most out of them. Once one guy wears down the defense, the other comes in, and vice versa. So I don't think I'd put Gibbs as the MVP of the offense for that reason, because he's a part-time offensive player.
No, I'm just talking about what he allows the coordinator to do. The creativity. It's that style of weapon that the offense has in Gibbs, like the defense has in Branch. And how good does Branch make everyone else around him?
Ticket Texter says, the MVP question for this football team is Sewell. He's taken out multiple defenders in pass pro and in the run game at times, and they always look to him for short yardage. It is pretty crazy when you see him down block, clear out one guy, and then look for more work and find another guy. You go, how did they run for 40 yards on that play? Number 58. Yeah. Let's get to the phones. Joe and Highland, you're on 97.1.
Joe, good morning.
Joe.
Good morning.
Joe. Hey, sorry. Hey, I want to talk about another draft pick that we got last year that I think is going to be another steal of the draft. the young guy from Utah, Vox, he's already the number one rated special teams player in the league. And last week when he took out not the punt, not the
Joe? Oh, Joe.
Joe. Started off rough. Thought it was going to get better, but
bye, Joe. Sorry. Cut out.
Yeah. I do think Vaki was, we were wondering. I don't think we questioned the pick. We were wondering because he had played offense, defense at Utah, but he has been, he's been a great pickup.
He looks like he's going to be one of those special teams aces, maybe a Pro Bowl special teamer down the road.
Well, they had a Pro Bowl special teamer a year ago in Jalen Reeves.
Yeah, and maybe he's the guy that replaces him as kind of the captain of the special teams. And then you might not, you know, we really don't know what he can do at running back. You know, that's probably years down the line. Although I do think, you know, when Ben Johnson, how'd he say it? There's a lot more left in the playbook.
The well is deep.
The well is deep, right, is the phrase I was looking for.
That may be week 18. You know, if they got the number one spot locked up, you don't want to bang up Montgomery and Gibbs. Well, let's see what Vaki can do.
Or maybe they're saving it for the Niners.
Could be.
Yeah. Well, it's why, like, we had a text yesterday saying their concern was that the Lions are peaking too soon. I don't feel like they've played their best football. And to Ben Johnson's point, I think they've got stuff that's set up that they haven't even utilized yet.
Well, the last couple games, to be honest, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, I can't even put this in as a topic, but I'll tell you what's on my mind. The offense has been a little shaky lately. It was a little shaky in Green Bay, although I think they took the foot off the gas because of the elements. It was shaky definitely the other night for the first half.
Yeah.
You know, the Titans game, you had so many big plays and the special teams effect. It's like, is the offense, I was thinking, like, it's so hard to criticize this team because they've been so dominant, you know?
Yeah, so you said, and I don't think you're wrong, that there's still, like, the offense has had some lulls this year. First couple weeks and last couple weeks. They're scoring 31.6 points per game. It's the second best in the NFL behind only Baltimore, and it's by, you know, a fraction of a point. And we feel like there's still more for this offense.
Right.
Because I mean, think about it. J-Mo's missed a couple games. Like, how Laporta, at times this season, has had his role grow but also diminish. It feels like they still haven't hit their stride yet offensively.
No, so I'll ask this question. Where can the Lions get better? So when you look at all nine games that they played to this point, 11 remaining, which game has been their most complete? Where is it that offense, defense, special teams were all hitting on all cylinders? Because the goal is that in the playoffs, you're starting to see more of that. Obviously, the Super Bowl, if you're peaking at the right time, the Super Bowl is the one where you put all three phases together and you're not missing a beat.
Yeah, the game I would answer is probably the Cowboy game, where they were their most complete this season.
I agree with that. That was the rock show coming to town.
But that shows me that this team can get up for stuff. Because I know the Cowboys aren't very good, but this team clearly had something that they wanted to let out. Some vengeance that they wanted to get out of that football game.
There was intent.
Yes.
Like, other, besides just winning the game, there was like, we want to destroy them.
So, like, when they go to San Francisco later this year, or if they meet in the playoffs, there's another gear for this football team.
Packers at home. Bears on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
The Bills. The Niners, like, those are games where you want to arrive with intent to do great harm.
Yeah, I mean, it's some of these are just setting up. This is why it's like storybook to a degree, because, like, Thanksgiving, you know, Campbell's using, you know, this city hasn't seen a winner on Thanksgiving since blah, blah. You know, the motivating factors. This team came in here with the Packer game the next week and kicked your crap out of us, you know? It's just like, it's just laying up for every single thing. That's why it's so hard to pick them to lose a game again.
You're welcome to join the 15-2 Express.
I'm comfortable where I'm at
right now. I'll offer it again.
Can I get on later? We gave you 8,000 chances, and then you one-upped us.
I'll give you as many chances as you want, guys. I'm not going to exclude you. You're welcome at any point on the 15-2.
The Buffalo game is the one I'm really wondering right now, because I feel like I think the end of this story is, can the Lions be a dominant franchise quarterback? And to me, that's the best one they're going to play.
Chance coming up in December. All right, coming up next, the Red Wings, the Pistons. Which team will deliver more for its fans this season? We'll answer it next, 97.1.
Hey, we've got football tonight, so get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. That's new customers. All you got to do is win a $5 bet, and you're going to get $150 in bonus bets. try to put together a same game parlay for tonight's game. It is the Commanders traveling to Philadelphia, and maybe it's Jaden Daniels anytime touchdown, Saquon Barkley over rushing yards, AJ Brown over receiving yards. It's just one that you might be able to put together. They got some you could choose from, or you could build your own. Build it however you want. Visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more this season. FanDuel is the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager. Only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, John, I asked the question, and it's built in that we're grading on a curve.
Yeah.
Wings won last night, Pistons lost last night. Which one of these teams will deliver more for its fans?
Well, it's the Pistons. That's the easy one because the bar is so low. It will deliver. I think it's already delivered. And the expectations are so much different for the conversation is different for Trajan Langdon versus Steve Yzerman. Mm-hmm. It was a team that missed out because of a tiebreaker on going to the playoffs last year versus a team that had the worst season in franchise history. They've already won more games. It took the Pistons almost to the end of January to win their fifth game. And so the bar is so low, they're entertaining. They could be, because the conference is so bad, at least it's starting off so bad, that they could be in a conversation for a spot in the play-in tournament.
I was going to ask you, what's the payoff for Pistons fans? Like this, they are better.
A team that wins 30 games or more. That's how low the bar is.
And I don't know that 30 gets you in the play-in, by the way.
No, it might not. It probably won't. No, 30 won't. 35 might.
Right. I don't know that they're winning 35. Listen, I'm encouraged. It's refreshing. They're much more competitive. They're finding ways to win some of these games, last night notwithstanding. There's still turnover problems from Cade. There's still defensive issues from this team. The bigger payoff is the Red Wings. The Red Wings are going to be in the playoff chase, I think, all season long. And if you're right there, you have a chance to deliver for your fans in a way that the Pistons can't hope to deliver for their fans.
Well, let me rephrase. There's a number of different ways we could rephrase this question in terms of the payoff for the fans. I don't know how many games the Pistons have between now and the end of the calendar year.
Sure.
Do they win more games before January 1st this season than they won all of last year? They're nine away.
They had 14 last year. Such a low bar. Probably not, but the fact that you even ask it. I actually think the fact that this is even a question we can ask speaks to the Pistons being off the mat, at least.
So, okay, keep talking.
fill the airtime, Jim. I know they had, I think it's 8 games in December. I don't know how many they have the rest of November, but let's say they play
nine in November.
Let's say they play another 18 games. I don't think they're winning
17.
Okay.
So do you think they go 9-8? No.
No, I don't.
I don't think they either, but the possibility
is
there.
Yeah. It's even close. Yeah. To me, the Red Wings clearly... Some of this is going to have to level off, okay? They're getting outshot in just about every game they play. And either that's going to doom them and they're going to fall apart, or we're going to see games like this weekend where they outshot the Rangers and outshot the Maple Leafs and lost, and that's going to start to pick up a little bit too. I just think there's clearly more star power with the Red Wings.
Found, at least.
Yeah, Casper's at least got his footing.
But the expectation is it's a playoff team. And if they don't make the payoff's not there.
The problem is they look more like the team that finished the season last year than the team that was there for 4 or 5 months. By the way, the Pistons, if they doubled their wins, it's 28-54. if they tripled their wins, they would be above 500. I think it's
such a low bar.
I would say ceiling right now. I think they've put 35 wins on the table, maybe.
See, I think that's going a little too far.
I think the East is awful. The East is, it's unbelievable how bad the East is. And so part of this is the fact that the other teams are bad too.
If you're going to do that, you got to beat teams like the Bucks last night.
Right.
When they're shorthanded, when they're playing 8 men.
Yeah.
And they're missing Lillard and a couple key players. Yes.
Make a free throw. And then maybe they will down the road. That'll help them and stuff. They're just,
I was a little surprised they even got those free throws, to be honest. I mean, they took forever to review it.
They're just more refreshing because it's new players, new coach. It's the Red Wings seem very stale to me right now.
It's a tough watch.
Yeah, the stat they've been out or they've outshot their opponent four times this year only, and they're
all of 0-4.
Yeah, you asked me this when I came in today.
Are those the four games that Jim went to?
You've only been to three, right?
I was at two of them, I think. I've been to three, yeah. So the stat was, how many games have the Red Wings been outshot? And it's 11 of the 15 games they've been outshot. So there are four where they have had more shots than the opponent, and they are 0-4 in those games. Yeah, I mean, it's bizarro.
So when's the next time you go down to LCA?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
So they're 0-3 when you go, right?
Yeah, and they've lost by three or more goals every time, yeah.
And they're 7-4-1 when you don't go.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.